Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel DeBoer, and I'm glad to be with you here this morning. Thanks for joining us both live and those of you who are live streaming with us. It's our delight to have you here in a time of worship and praise to God. Just a couple of quick announcements. Please make sure that in the middle of your bulletin, you can find some of those announcements there. Again, an evening women's Bible study group will be starting up soon. But also, those of you who may be interested and want to help in the process of looking for a pastor, the council has asked that you prayerfully consider that you would like to sign up and help in that process. And so that will begin in just a little while, but they're asking for names. So if you might be interested in doing that, then please let one of your council members know. Our call to worship this morning comes from James. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Hear this now, and imagine that James is now speaking to you, this early church, this church that's fragmented in some ways, this church that has just known a little bit about Jesus, but all of what God's truth is about, and now is suffering for something that they've just begun to embrace. And here's what he says to you and I, like he did back there. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. Does that relate to home here? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That is that strength to keep going when you're just feeling pooped out and tired. And let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And again, James reminds us that that lacking nothing comes because Christ is full, and in him we have everything we need. And so it is this complete Christ that says, I'm glad you're here. In fact, I prompted you to be here this morning. So let us enjoy in a time of difficulty, in a time of questioning, in a time of a week that's yet unknown, till we can count it pure joy, he is with us. That's how much he loves us. Let's sing the song. Let's rise and sing the song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Please rise.
Thank you.
It is this Lord who loves you deeply and delights in who you are that greets you this morning. Now grace be with you from him who is and was and ever be, the loving, living Word of God himself, in you, for you, to him who is and was and ever shall be. Amen. Why don't you take a moment, just look around you, wave if you want to say hi to someone, but just say good morning to some of the people around you. All right. Yeah, this COVID-19 has really thrown a lot of things for a loop, hasn't it? It's good when we wave to each other, but man, there are times when, you know, I miss the handshake. I miss the, you know, the fellowship that the church brings in a unique way. This morning, we're going to have a prayer of confession. I don't know about you, but again, for a lot of us, I think when we think about confession, it feels like, oh, I've done something wrong, and I'm not worthy, and we hear all these voices of criticism that want to just knock us down and tell us you're not worth God's time or pleasure. Instead, what confession really does is enter us into the presence of God, where he says, I know, I've seen what you've done, but it's okay, I love you. Now lay that sin and whatever else before you down so that we can embrace each other and you can find your rest. So let's join together in a unison of confession as we lay down what is before us so we can be embraced by him. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God responds with this assurance of pardon. And it's pictured in Job in a powerful way. Here we hear from Job 14. It says, you will call or confess, and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. Surely then you will count my steps, but not keep track of my sin. My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin. Look at that picture. So here's the stuff we just confessed. God says in Job, he says, by the way, he says, what I do is I put your sin in a Ziploc bag. And look, it'll never come out and spoil you again. That's forgiveness. But he says, beyond that, I no longer count this against you. In fact, what I do, the God who cannot forget, I choose to take this bag now and put it somewhere where I don't remember it anymore. It can't come back and creep in between us. It may bother you still, but between us, it's gone. Isn't that a great assurance of pardon? That's why we can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's sing this song, shall we? because of the beauty of what he has done in accepting our confession, giving us his assurance, we now can step into the very presence of God with boldness. As Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, because the veil has been torn away, nothing can keep us from the presence of God. Let's step into the presence of God in our time of prayer together this morning. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day this is. A day in the midst of changing seasons. A day of hope and anticipation. When the work that has been done both in the field and in this past week, in our shops, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and along the way, can bear fruit. And we can harvest that fruit because you said you would give us a bountiful harvest if we trust in you. And so we put our trust in you and say, oh Lord, show your faithfulness, show your mercy and grace, that we may laugh and we may harvest so much more than what we realized, because you seek our good through your great love. Assure us that not only have you forgiven us, but that you are already preparing works in advance for us to discover and join with you. Help us to find those. Help us to delight in them. Help us to realize that you will give us whatever we need to accomplish whatever you call us to, because that's what you have promised in your word. We hold fast to that word and we say, Lord, help us to stand upon it, leap from it, and walk in light of it. And so, God, we thank you that not only have you spoken, but you have come and lived among us through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, give us the wonder of your presence with us each moment of this day and this week. So much so that we find we cannot help but glorify you and enjoy you each day. Father, as we struggle with just so many things happening around us, this COVID-19 still, the whole election process, demands and changes due to all kinds of things that are outside of our control, give us the peace that passes understanding to remind us you are in control. And when I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I am in doubt, I will call upon you and you will answer me. And when the things look smooth and easy, I will delight in you. Father, for this church, I ask for wisdom to the council. I ask for wisdom among the people, that they may grieve the loss of the pastor that has stepped away and gone to another church. And I pray, Lord, as they now seek to try and find a new pastor, you will continue to minister through them and to them. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless each one of us, whether they're watching live or whether we're here today, that again, we will find the uniqueness, the wonder of being the Church of Jesus Christ. That we will not forget, it isn't a personal issue. It's really about being the body together. So give us strength to join in together for the work of your kingdom, both here in Lamar's and throughout this county. Lord, we pray that you would be near those who need you in special ways, those who have been confined to their homes, to nursing homes, those who have been restricted from other freedoms and other things that they would normally do. We pray be near them, minister to them by your healing hand of grace and goodness. Father God, for those who are gone on vacation and trying to end this last weekend before the fall and before all the busyness of what comes with school and everything else like that, I pray, Lord, that again, you would let them celebrate and rejoice in you. To find their rest, but to truly find it most of all in their time and communion with you. Bless the ministries that will begin this fall in this church and this community. Lord, I pray for wisdom and grace that you will help it not just be an event or program, but it will change lives in all people that will participate. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is never ending. It never is old and was only for a certain time. It is for every time. And each day we open it, and each time we look at it, your word speaks afresh. Your spirit speaks anew on how to live in the victory of Jesus Christ. For that's why you have said we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we pray that you would open your word before us. You would lift up our hearts. You would prepare us. You would have us look with anticipation for what will come and what is coming ultimately, your kingdom. So now, Lord, in a moment of quiet, we present to you our personal requests, trusting that you already know them and that you are already working to bring about what is good. Hear us now. So now, dear Lord, have your spirit fall afresh on us. Mold us. Make us after your will. We have this hope in Jesus Christ. And we pray this prayer in the prayer that he taught us. And we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Let's rise and sing Spirit of the Living God. Please rise. Father God, as we get ready to open your word, Now speak to us, as only we need to hear what you need to say, specifically for us and for this church, for this community, for your kingdom's glory and grace. In your name we pray. Amen. I thought this would be a good message for us this morning. And so I want to begin by asking you this question to start out with. And again, trust me, I'm not trying to be morbid. Okay, can we have that trust initially? All right, so here's the question. The question is, first of all, I want you to imagine that you're at your own funeral and you get to listen to everything that everybody's going to say at that funeral and afterwards. You ready? What would you want them to say about you? It's an important question. It's important because we don't just live for the now, we live for an eternity, right? And again, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I want us to realize that whatever you're going to answer that question, what do you want people to say? That's important because it will help you shape how you are going to continue now to live your life from this question on. The important thing that you and I must always remember is that the power of this is like we often find at many funerals. Now, again, it's not critique, it's just honest reality. You've been to funerals too where people will say, oh, yes, I remember him or I remember her, and they'll tell, you know, a little bit of juicy stories, right? Reminding us all that we're not perfect. And then we'll tell some good stories. And then they'll end with some kind of a statement like this, yeah, but he was a really good guy. Or, oh, she was such a sweetie. And that's great. But is that what you want God to say? And have you hear others say just about you at the end of your life? You see, the reality is that we are really called to be different. The Bible calls us to live a unique kind of life that isn't just common. Look at 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let's look at those verses a minute. It's important. We'll bring that up on the screen. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Now notice this verse in particular. That one sets the stage. He's setting the stage by telling us it's going to be different. And he says, now live such good lives among the pagans, that is the community people around us who don't go to church, who don't have a relationship with God, live such good lives that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visit. He visits us. Again, the power of this is that you and I are called to remain in the world, but not be of the world. We're not supposed to be the same. So we shouldn't have everybody at our funerals saying things like, well, they did this and they did this, but they were a sweetie, or they were a good guy. Really, God calls us to have something different. We're not just supposed to go with the flow. We're really to show the deeds of God, that so much so that they may not like how you did things, your methodology, but they say, wow, that person's life always had an impact on me. There was a wisdom there. There was a depth of something greater than just what the rest of this world seems to get or try to get. It's got to be different. We are called to live, really, a questionable life. And that's what I want to speak to you from God's word this morning, from this passage in Peter, but also from one out of 1 John. But what you and I need to understand is we need to first ask ourselves, what does a questionable life look like? So let's look at an example, what I think could be of a questionable life. Maybe some of you remember Eric Idle in 1924, and they made a movie out of this, is that he was an Olympic runner. His best thing was the mile. But the mile came up in the Olympics in 1924 to be run on a Sunday morning. And Eric Idle chose, nope, I'm not running on Sunday. Everybody said, what are you doing? You represent your nation, not just you. He said, I'm not running. Now, he had the 200 meter and the 400 meter that he also ran. What's interesting is Eric Idle then focused on that. And what was amazing was that in 1924, Eric Idle, in running the 400 meter, ran it so fast and got such an initial lead so much further that the world was stunned. He ran it in 47.6 seconds, which was an incredible time. It was 5 seconds faster than what the world had known prior to that. Is that amazing? Now, of course, we run a little faster today, but what's amazing is at that time, his conviction received a reward from God's good graces. And by the way, he won both of his other races, which he was just kind of average in, and the world never looked for him to win. What's unique about all of this is that Eric Idle ran because he said, I run for God. I don't just run for myself or my nation. That's a questionable life. What's also unique is that before he ran the first race, after missing that mile, someone came up to him and shook his hand and said, Eric, this is good. And Eric received a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, it quoted a scripture passage, and the passage said this. He said, the passage tells us that God recognizes when we run for the right purposes. Those who honor me, this message said, I will honor. And God did. What's interesting is both this person who slipped him the note and Eric Idle lived a questionable life. Both were not afraid to do something different than what the world expected. So what is a questionable life? I believe 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 really gives us some initial insight. So let's look at this verse a minute. Familiar, probably haven't. From the NIV, but you are a chosen, and I love the King James, that's where that slash comes in. The King James uses the right word, I believe, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Again, I want you to realize is that God calls all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ to not just be the same as the world, but to be in recognizing our chosenness. He chose us by his own good graces to call us out of darkness into light, to be peculiar. That doesn't mean odd, so it doesn't mean you have to color your hair, or you have to get all these tattoos, or you have to just be straight and look like an old guy all the time. You okay? What it's calling us to is to be different in our lifestyle. How we live it so that people look at us and go, I don't know what you're doing, but man, there's something different about you. There's something wonderfully different about you. It's interesting that in a book by Michael Frost called Surprise the World, he defines a peculiar life this way. Look at this. This is great. He says, it is the kind of life that stirs up curiosity, raises questions from friends, neighbors, and even enemies about why you live the way you do. Do you and I live a questionable life? I'm going to show you a simple way today, by God's good grace, and by some of the insights from Michael Frost, on how we can begin to live this peculiar life. You see, we are called to have a questionable life where others look at you, and again, they will say very, very clearly, I don't get why you do what you do, but I want to tell you, I'm drawn to it. I like being around you, and thank you for being tolerant of me as I am around you. A questionable life is one that makes people reevaluate their own priorities, whether that's our children, whether that's our grandchildren or our nieces and nephews, our cousins, or the general populace. So much so that they reevaluate their priorities and they're willing to start making shifts in how they're going to perceive the world. May not believe, but they're moving in that direction. Again, let's look at that 1 Peter 2 verse 9 passage again. Again, but you individually, you and us as a church, we are called to be chosen, that is, peculiar people. A royal priesthood, not just people who do religious things, but people who recognize that in their royalty, there is something of a quality value of living life and how I live my life that makes it different than just normal priesthood stuff. I'm a holy nation. That is, I'm distinctly set apart. Again, not odd, but peculiar in a way that raises curiosity, that makes people long for it even though they don't know why. Because God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. Your life, my life, in a peculiar way, reflects this sense of moving out of a darkness, out of an inability to know right and wrong or good or healthy things, to say, no, I can say no to this, but I can say yes to this. All things may be beneficial, says Paul, but not all things are profitable. All things may be beneficial, says Paul, but not all things are constructive. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. What God is calling us to is to recognize that how we live our life is one that is distinctive. I got to tell you about a guy. I was about 16, 17 years old. My friend and I, who is the pastor's son, so if you're wondering why I'm kind of weird some ways, it's because I was spoiled by a pastor's son who also had a family who lived a peculiar life. So his dad, the pastor, told his son Jim and me, guys, jump in the station wagon, go to Stapleton Airport, and I want you to pick up Kurt. Jim did not know what Kurt looked like. I did not know what Kurt looked like. And yet, we're supposed to go in and pick this guy up from Stapleton Airport. Now, Stapleton Airport had this long driveway in front, and usually what happened was when someone would pull up, they'd park their car, the other cars could go by, and then one person can run into where the baggage claim is, that's a picture on the top, and then you could find the person you're hopefully looking for. If not, you could always go quickly over to the counter, ask them, and they would page that person's name. Please come to Delta, you know, flight terminal, blah, 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 right? So we're looking for Kurt. We again ask the pastor, how are we going to recognize this guy? He said, believe me, you will have no problem. Because when you walk in, if he has his bags, he will have the largest group of people around him. Okay, so Jim and I jump in the station wagon. We drive over to the airport. Jim says, you're jumping out and going, because I was a little more outgoing than my friend Jim. So I jump out. Jim pulls to the curb. I run in. I'm thinking, Lord, please, you got to help me find Kurt. Sure enough, here's this huge crowd, probably 30-some people, gathered around one person who's talking a little bit loud, but amazing. So I walk over and I just kind of stand by, and sure enough, I listen for a little bit, and it is about, you know, the walk of faith and how God's leading him and what brought him to Denver and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, all these people, you know, said, hey, well, thanks, Kurt, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they all leave except for one lady. And then he prays with that lady right there by baggage claim in Stapleton International Airport. That was peculiar. In the 70s, that was peculiar. So I wait. He turns around then, sees me standing there. He says, you must be Joel or Jim. I said, I'm Joel. He says, hi, I'm Kurt. Let's go. I am stunned. I am just flat out jaw dropped. Oh my goodness, Lord, what in the world? I've known Kurt for many years. Probably haven't seen him now for 20. But I'll bet you if I had to find him in a crowd, I would still be able to find him. Because he lived a questionable life. He just let the love of Jesus flow from him. He couldn't help it, he said. He said, I have so much realized what God has done in my own life that I no longer am afraid to just share the love of Jesus, to tell people God loves them where they're at, to help them laugh and not take their serious problems so seriously, but to say there's someone else you can trust that can help you find something. You see, Kurt lived a life that blessed people. Here's what blessed means. This is from Michael Frost's book. Blessed means you can bless somebody with a prayer, you can lend a helping hand, you can encourage one's heart and life, you can serve without strings, and you can share your story of hope with someone. Just simple things, but things that will help people recognize there is something uniquely different about you, something spiritually powerful in how you play, in how you speak, in how you view life. So, you ready? Here is, I can't call it a command. I don't have that authority over you. Here's God's word to you this morning. God says, I want to dwell in you so much because of what's happening this morning that I want you to anoint or bless three people. The first person you're going to bless is somebody from the member of this church. You do that a lot of different ways. You can pray for them. You can call them and just have a conversation with them. You can do whatever you want to do that way. You can just give them some aspect of an anointing of God's goodness. And by the way, God cares for you. I'll just listen to you. I won't comment. I'll speak to you. I'll pray for you. I'll bring you a meal. I'll send you a letter, an encouragement card. I'll come up and remind you, you're not alone. Then I want you to choose one person who's not a part of this church. Could be someone else in your family or somebody else somewhere else, but find one other person to do the same kind of thing to do. And then I want you to do it with one person who's not a believer. Someone who's part of that pagan group that we read in our first passage. Someone outside of God's goodness and grace that really doesn't know it. And I know all of you do know at least one person that's outside of God's grace. I know it. I want you to bless three people because God has called you to live that way. It's peculiar, but it's your wonderful royal right. And you as a believer are the only ones who really have that royal right. Is that great? God has that for you. Now, a question might arise. Again, being people of faith, we might say, well, wait a second. I shouldn't just bless people. Shouldn't I try and be converting some people? And you can shake your head this way. Yes and no. What do you mean, Pastor? That sounds pretty lukewarm. Well, yes, you are to convert people, but don't run before the Spirit. We okay? And no, you can find that more good comes out of, in our world today, more good comes out of being a blessing than seeking to convert. It's interesting. In Michael's book, he presents a David Ferguson story. David Ferguson worked for an international group that would go and take young adults, young people, into foreign countries, and they were to do the work of Jesus Christ. But he thought he would try, David Ferguson tried, I'm going to try something different. He says, I'm going to tell half my group, all I want you to do is go and bless people. Just go anoint them with God's prayers, with words of encouragement, with just good listening, with an embrace of you know, you're not alone here. Is there anything I can do to help you? Anything that way, just bless them. One of those five things that were shown up on that screen before. To the other half of the group, he told them, I want you to go out and your specific work is to look for opportunities in the conversations you have to convert them, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to call them to recognize their sin and to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You want to know the amazing thing? And it really shouldn't surprise us. But the blessers, the group that were the blessers, brought more people to Christ and had more opportunity to bring people to Christ than the people who went out there to say, I've got to convert you. Think about that. Blessing opened the way for more conversions than people who went out to just convert. Ferguson also found out that as people went along, as they blessed people, people were more apt to want to have a relationship with the blessers than the people who were just trying to can the come to Jesus movement stuff. And that shouldn't surprise us either. God wants you to bless. Evangelism is as easy as starting with a blessing. And you and I today are to be reminding ourselves, especially in our world today, you got to love them to lead them to Jesus Christ. Blessing is the touch and the love of Jesus first that gives you an opportunity later on as God gives way for you or this church or someone in this church with you to help them find the hope that lies within us. You and I should. And why should we anoint? Because of what 1 John 2, verse 20 through 27 says. Look at these verses. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. One and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no one lies comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the one whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. And no one who denies the Son has the Father. But whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. That's a key word. Remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promises us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. You see, if you're working on a converted moment or you're working for another thing, it's like you're always pushing the opinion. He says, that's not what I'm seeking to do. I'm countering that by saying something different. Notice verse 27 now. As for you, that is, those of you who have recognized you've been anointed, the anointing you received from him, from Jesus Christ, through us, remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, notice this, remain in him. You see, that's what blessings do. I am anointed to have the presence of Christ with me. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. You have been fully anointed with Christ. He is fully with you if you've accepted him as your Savior and as your Lord. Therefore, you have no need for anything really else that you would want to have or think you need to have. Therefore, you and I can go out and we can go and start blessing up people. We can begin to anoint them with the love of Christ that we have more than enough of and will never run out of. And as such, we then, by pouring his anointing into others, remain in him. That's how you and I remain in him. Isn't that incredible? I hope that will so stir your heart, like it does mine, that we get to the point where we say, God, because your great love calls me to abide in you, John chapter 15. I therefore have been anointed. And that flowing anointment comes through me so that now I can then go and anoint others. And in that way, I remain in you strong and they have their best opportunity to be connected to you as well. And you thought evangelism was hard. God says, no. No. It begins with love. It flows from me. I got to tell you, I had this guy that I met when I first moved to Britt, Iowa, back in 2003. I came early in the summer. My wife and kids were still up in Washington State. My kids had some berry-picking jobs that were better than they could get jobs in Iowa until August. They came in August. But while I was down there, my first Sunday in this church, I get done. I'm the last one going out of the church, and I meet this guy, Patrick Smith, which isn't really his name. But Patrick Patrick was this guy who, he was the town drunk. And he was playing guitar, and I play guitar. And again, I got to admit, his guitar playing was lousy because he was drunk. When he wasn't drunk, I found Patrick could play pretty good. But he was drunk, and so I had no place to go at that point. So I just walked around, went down the street, around by behind the bowling alley, because that's where he was living, and that's where I found out he was playing. And I walk around, and of course, there's beer cans all over the place. And I say, well, hi, I'm Joel. I'm Patrick. You know, he's drunk. And I said, wow, Patrick, I see you playing guitar. I said, I was drawn to it. Really? What the blankety blank do you think that is? I said, well, I believe it was God, not the blankety blank. He laughed. God opened the door by that kind of an anointing, that kind of a blessing. I just came because God wanted me to bless you. I listened to some of his songs that he played. We laughed, and we became good friends. And over time, he would say things like, well, you know, Pastor Joel, I'm a Lutheran, but I like you to be my pastor. I said, Patrick, I'd love to be your pastor. God works things in such unique and wonderful ways when we just go to bless people. God calls you and I to do that. So again, here's the challenge I'm going to ask you to do as God lays this on your heart for the next while, however long. I want you to anoint, that is to bless, first of all, one person in this church, maybe today before you leave. But don't do it just to check it off the list, okay? This isn't a to-do list. This is a I need to abide in Christ, and I want you to abide in Christ also kind of list, okay? So first do a member of this church, then I want you to look this week and be praying and asking God, God, show me someone who is not part of this church that I need to bless. And it may come just in the midst of a phone call, and all of a sudden, Holy Spirit goes, ding, this is the person. So then you look and say, okay, Lord, tell me when, and then he'll ask you to bless that person somehow. Maybe pray with them, maybe just encourage them. And then I want you to find one person who is a non-believer and just bless them. That's God's call to us. A questionable life. To abide with him forever and glorify him and enjoy him in all that we do. You and I. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us so much that we have more to give than what we realize. You have blessed us and anointed us so wonderfully in Jesus Christ that our cup overflows and we will never run dry. We can always have opportunities for blessings. Thank you for your call from your word this morning to remind us of what a joy it is in blessing others. I pray challenge us to do this and to make this a part of the story of our life so that possibly at the end, people would say, wow, she always seemed to bless those who were around her. He would always find a way to give me some hope and a blessing. We ask this, Jesus, in your name and by your power, because we know there are thousands of reasons that we can live for you. Amen. Let's rise for a song of response. 10,000 Reasons. I don't know if you know this one well. If you don't, you'll learn it pretty quick because it's fun.
Oh,
As we seek to worship the Lord and his holy name, may the grace of God go with you. The strength of a resurrected Lord be your strength, and the hope of a Spirit poured out in you and through you to bless others. Go now as his children in his name. Amen.